Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, welcome to Bitch Slap. This is Rachel Fisher.
This is Desi Jadakin.
And this is Melrose Place Season 3, Episode 13.
Just Say No.
Classic episode.
Yeah.
Great episode.
A lot happens.
A lot of great moments and some shocking moments. Mm.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it because we have a lot to get to. Mm. We begin at the beach house with the sounds of Joe's baby crying, and Michael Mancini is back from wherever the hell he was, and he's like, where'd this baby come from?
Babe, where'd this baby come from?
he is dying to know, and Kimberly's being very evasive. He's like, tell me, give me some more information about where you got this baby.
I'm kind of shocked how he just kind of let it roll. Because I don't think I'd be like, okay, we'll talk later.
No, I'd be like, this is crazy.
No, like, I would not let this stand.
Who are the parents? I was gone for 3 days. How did this happen?
Yeah.
And Kimberly won't give him a straight answer. And that's when Jane calls Michael. And she says, Michael, Chris ran off with all of my money. All of our money.
Yeah. He's got, now Michael's got bigger problems than the baby.
And but Michael says he's smug about it at first. He's like, oh, I knew I had that guy pegged.
Yeah. He wants to take his little victory lap before he panics.
I mean, game recognized game. Michael recognizes a shady guy.
Absolutely.
He knew. And so he's like, did you call the cops? And she's like, I did, but they said I can't do anything because I signed off on him having access to all my money.
Yeah, pathetic.
And he's like, Jane, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah. And he's like, I'll handle this myself. So he takes off and, oh, first he tells Jane, you're such a pushover between the sheets.
Yeah.
And then he hangs up the phone and Kimberly's like, is everything all right, dear? And he says, listen, Kimberly, I got grown-up problems to deal with. You deal with your baby.
He also mocks her. He's like, is everything all right, dear? No, everything's not all right, dear. Like, he imitates her. He's right, too.
Honestly, he's had it with Kimberly. This isn't the fun relationship. This isn't like a fun affair anymore. This is serious. And also, it's not hot and steamy because she's not actively trying to kill him anymore.
And she's got a fucking baby.
And there's a baby in the mix.
He doesn't want this.
He
said he didn't want it.
This is not a hot situation for him.
No.
So he takes off. And as he peels out, we see Joe is parked out front of the beach house in her sad champagne-colored sedan.
No, she like pops up as if she's in camouflage. Like she's like,
it is broad daylight.
She like just pokes her head up. Like she'd been crouching down, like, and her head just pops up. And it's kind of like shocking for a second.
She has fallen so far. She used to ride a motorcycle.
No.
And be cool. And now she's hiding in her sedan outside of the beach house.
That car was sadder than Betsy.
No, it was like the saddest car I've ever seen.
Also, I'm kind of like, just kidnap the baby.
You just
like,
steal
wait for
it
Kimberly
back.
To leave. She's got to go to work one day. Bring your fucking gun. You got one. We know it.
Like, yeah. Where's the gun?
Maria's going to not fight you.
Right.
Just take it. Wait for Kimberly to leave. I don't get this.
I don't get
this. What is she going to do? Turn you in for her stolen baby? Like,
So Joe is like pounding on the door. She's like, Kimberly, I want my baby.
And Kimberly is just like, oh, this is so sad. Your baby was stillborn. She's just like, I like that she just plays the game.
Yeah.
Still like, that's why you know she's truly deranged.
She's a monster.
No, she's like, Joe, this is pathetic. Your baby was born dead.
And you are having a psychotic break.
Yeah, it's okay, sweetheart. You go home and take a nap.
And so Kimberly is like, she's like, this is my baby. And Joe's like, you don't have a baby. And she says, well, I do now. Now get the hell off my property.
I like when Joe also says, you're a doctor. As if there's any decent doctor on this show.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, so is Michael Manzini.
Yeah. And so is Peter Burns. He ain't no peach either.
So she's like, she shakes Kimberly. But Kimberly's got her, and Joe just kind of like storms off. And then we get the credits, the opening credits.
Yeah. Great cold open.
It was a great cold open. After the credits, we see Chris and Sydney are in the limo driving through the desert. Who's driving them? We don't know. But there's a witness there.
Yeah.
Somebody who's witnessed Sydney's kidnapping.
Yeah.
A faceless, nameless limo driver.
Look, he's just driving. What happens on the way to Vegas stays there.
Yeah, he's not paid to ask questions.
No.
So they're 50 miles outside of Vegas, and Chris is drinking champagne, and he's like, and she's like, as soon as we get to Vegas, I'm going to the cops.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got a diamond necklace to give you. You're going to love it. It goes with the earrings.
And there's a very like telling facial expression that Sydney gives during this ride where you're like, ah, she's tempted.
Well,
she's tempted.
This is classic Sydney. Anytime she sees something sparkly and like she could get some money out of a situation, and she's like, ooh, like she is very distracted by sparkly things.
Yeah. She's kind of like a hustler mentality. She's going to take an opportunity when she sees it.
Yeah.
And fuck everyone in her life.
Like, I kind of respect it, but I also think she did a lot of dumbass things in this situation.
Oh, this is an infuriate. This is like worse, almost as bad as when she signed the divorce papers for Michael easily and he was just screwing her over. Like, right. No, I'm upset with her because I feel like I'd be fine with her doing this to Jane, but not to Jake.
Oh, I just felt like she could have gotten them all the money back. Like she could have like stolen the chips or something, maybe, or gotten to Jake and Jane quicker.
I truly don't know what she was doing in this episode. I'm baffled.
She was living it up. And to be quite honest, I was like, when are Desi and I going back to Vegas?
We'll get to it. I'll tell you my overall issue with what she did later. But yeah, she definitely gave an expression in this limo where I was like, Sydney, no, please.
Don't
stop.
Don't fall for it. At D&D, Bruce and Allison are standing in front of some insane steampunk copper looking wall. Did you see this?
Yes. D&D is a marvel. I always feel like I see something new. There'll be like a little staircase pop up.
Yeah.
There's always like, it is a maze and it is like the Winchester Mystery House.
No, it really is because this place, who designed this place?
No, it's crazy.
But this was, I took a picture of it.
Oh, good.
Because it looks wild. Anyway, Bruce tells Allison that he fired Amanda and that he's forming a new team and that she's going to be a part of it and she's going to have a lot more responsibility. And Allison's excited and she goes into Amanda's office where Amanda is packing up her shit. And Allison goes, Amanda, I wanted you to know how sorry I am. And Amanda's not having it. She immediately starts laying into Allison. She's like, oh, you are such a hypocrite, Allison. I don't even know how you do it with a straight face. You're probably elated by this. And then she starts going off more. She's like, not done. She's like, you know, this probably calls for a celebration. Of course, any excuse for you to have a drink.
I was typing so fast during the scene. I just had to give up at some point because every word she said was gold. Like, yeah. She just kept going.
No, it was great. And then she said, I can smell the screwdriver on your breath. It's not even lunchtime, Allison.
Yeah.
You're already drunk. And then Allison snaps back and she says, I am better on 2 double vodkas than you are at your best. But Amanda gets her and she says, tell that to the next kid you run over.
Yeah. I mean, Allison once again tries and fails to go at Amanda. And it's just watching this scene, knowing what I know, it's just like, once again, Allison, you fucking idiot. Like, you truly thought you had won, but we know she has not won. Like,
yeah. and it's far from over.
Yes. And this has happened to her so many times with Amanda that it's unbelievable. She still keeps thinking she's safe to finally tell her off.
Right.
And it's like, no, you're not.
Sydney and Chris are checked into their suite at Caesar's Palace. And this suite is crazy. It is an Egyptian themed suite with navy blue carpeting, gold satin bedspread.
Did you see the huge black cat?
The Bastet. Okay, we're going to talk about it. First, we see a Nefertiti bust, and everything in the room is like, all the furniture is lucite or mirrored surfaces.
It's like a coke den.
This place is obscene. And Sydney is so disgusted by, even Sydney is like, this is a bridge too far, because she walks up to a 6-foot tall Bastet statue that is just in the corner of the room. And she like shudders.
I just can't with her in this episode. The whole thing is a mess.
She,
like, cause what is she doing?
Right.
Like, there's nothing keeping her here. No, do you know what I mean? Like,
he even says she can leave. He's like, you can leave at any time, but I don't think you will. And he goes, come on, you like me a little. And then she says, what about Jane? And he says, well, Jane doesn't exactly raise my flag. If you know what I mean. And he goes, come on, Sydney, give me a second chance. He wants to wine and dine her. He starts seducing her with the promise of fancy clothes and jewels and fancy restaurants.
I love, too, when he says to her, you can't see yourself rubbing a rag across a dirty bar. Just like rubbing a rag was so vulgar to me. Like,
yeah. And so cut to them downstairs at one of the shops, and Sydney's trying on expensive dresses. And she is like sold on this floor length, shiny, figure hugging black gown with a sweetheart neckline. And she's like, I look good. And she just was like, fuck Jane.
No, she's like, it's a lot. Are you sure you can afford it? And he's like, it's yours. Like, it's just like she, I couldn't believe her, because it's like I kept waiting for her to scam him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I kept waiting for her to pull a fast one, and well, she doesn't really.
Yeah, especially, I mean, she doesn't know at this point that it's her sister's money. So if I were her,
that's true.
If I were her, I could imagine. You want her to like get as much as she can out of him.
That's true. I wasn't thinking she didn't know that yet.
She doesn't know that yet.
I mean, it's still bad.
Well, it's bad because then, yeah, if this plan fails, he's going to have something over you and have something to tell Jane. Like, look, she accepted all these gifts from me.
Right. And we already knew she would because of the earrings that she happily wore.
Yeah. Back at D&D, Allison tells Bruce he can count on her. Famous last words.
But she's out of control in this scene because she's like finally getting her credit.
Yeah.
She's like, and I was the one who did that.
Like, yeah. She's like, I worked on Gloria's gowns.
Yeah. And Bruce is like, I get it. You're going to be a star kid. Like,
yeah, he's going to promote her. And then he takes a phone call and we can tell something's immediately wrong. And he gets off the phone and we find out it was his attorney, and that his attorney let him know that a consortium of doctors bought a majority of the D&D stock, essentially buying him out.
I would love to know why they think that that's normal. Like, there is no consortium of doctors taking over corporations. I'm sorry. What
is a consortium of doctors?
Consortium of doctors who are like venture capitalists. Like, what is this? Like, how did they come up with this? Because it's not a thing that exists.
Also, so Peter got all of these doctors at Wilshire Memorial on board. Like, let's take over this advertising firm that my girlfriend works at.
Let's do a side hustle, even though we're very busy physicians. Like, we're always on call, but let's also do some business stuff. Right. We'll be a consortium of doctors. Like, they don't even have a name. It's not like Doctors Inc. or something. Like, they come up with some name. They just call themselves a consortium of doctors. It's so stupid. Like,
no, it's really dumb. And
also, it must seem immediately suspicious, right? Like, why is this consortium of doctors buying an ad agency in LA that for some reason is on the stock exchange?
Like, how is this allowed?
The whole thing is just so stupid. Like,
I feel like the writers could have come up with a better way.
It's so stupid. Even I know how stupid it is, and I don't know anything about the business. Like, even I'm like, come on, guys. Like,
no,
make it a little more believable.
This is so funny.
It's so dumb.
Because Allison's like a consortium of doctors.
Ooh.
And so Bruce is like, yeah, there's going to be a board meeting tomorrow. And now I don't have a majority stake in the company.
So it seems like a great, great meeting.
How did they buy out his share?
Who the hell knows? Look, the writers are definitely hoping we don't ask questions.
Meanwhile, Chris and Sydney are playing craps and they're having the time of their life, and so is everyone else at the craps table, as people playing craps are wont to do. It's the craps table is the place to be in Vegas. Look,
if you're on a show or TV and someone's playing craps, that always gets the person who's being a little party pooper in a good mood. And soon they're yelling at the craps table.
I've seen it happen in person. It was 4 a.m. and Desi was fading, but she started playing craps.
That's true.
And she perked right up.
Because then I was like, oh, well, now I'm interested. Because I didn't know how to play. But once you figure out a little bit, you see it's a very, it's a game with a lot of camaraderie. You start getting invested in everyone's roles.
Because you want everyone else at the table to win.
Yes, it's like everyone wins when you win, so it's very exciting.
Mm. Sydney is also wearing a very cute little white fur stole.
You gotta.
Which is very Sydney.
Oh my God, I would have picked that up too.
No, she's looking like a little gangster's mole, which is so Sydney. And she's having a blast, and Chris is like, here, play some blackjack. Here's some chips. And she's like, this is $20,000.
And we never really see what happens, but I guess she loses it all.
Yeah, that's never mentioned again. At Melrose Place, Michael is waiting for Jane at her door. So this is all happening in the middle of the day. Sydney's wearing this ball gown and this white fur stole, only in Vegas.
That's Vegas. That's very Vegas.
One of my favorite things about Vegas is you can be dressed like this at 8 a.m. and no one will bat an eye.
No, absolutely not.
So Michael shows up to Jane's, and he at first accuses her of somehow being in cahoots with Chris. He's like, this is so stupid. How do I know you're not like pulling something with Chris with this money?
Right. That you, how about in 2 months you disappear too?
Like, right. And then Jake hears this and he's like, hey, what's going on? He puts his hand on his hip.
He's in classic Jake mode this episode.
Yeah. He's not here to have fun. He's here to make things right.
And he even looks a little more conservative. Like, he doesn't look as hot this episode to me because his hair is a little too done.
Well, he's a little party pooper too. He wants to leave Vegas as soon as he gets there.
No, he's like not fun this episode.
So Jane is like, I haven't heard from Sydney. And Michael's like, what the fuck? And then he's like, oh, Jane. Oh, you have my apologies. You're not in cahoots with that Aussie. Your loony sister is.
No, Michael's been there. He's been there, done that.
And he said, this is just like Sid. And Jake is like, nuh-uh, Sydney's a good girl. She tried to warn Jane about this guy.
Accurate.
And I love when Jane's like, he had me fooled.
Oh, she's just pathetic.
Meanwhile, Sydney's getting a massage in her room while she's eating chocolate-covered strawberries.
The height of luxury in the 90s. She'd be eating chocolate-covered strawberries. Like, you got... That was, like, it. What?
Yeah.
Chocolate-covered strawberries are going to be there?
The height of luxury.
Seriously.
And she's also drinking an iced tea with an umbrella.
Umbrella.
Maybe it's the Long Island iced tea.
Sometimes I relate so much to her, it's sick.
No, it is sick.
Like, I love having an umbrella in my drink. That's like, that's me.
Yeah.
As a kid, I used to, I would take them and collect them.
I'd save them.
I have my little umbrella. Yeah.
I love a drink umbrella to this day. Cute. To this day.
Perfect design.
Mm. So Chris returns to the room and he's like, I'm on a roll. I'm up. And she's like, she's enjoying her massage. And then she's in the middle of getting a massage. And he goes up to her and he says, Sid, I'd like to be the one to give you a massage. Only I'd go a lot deeper.
That, I was like, they're allowed to say this on television? I was sickened by this. It was so vulgar to me. I don't know why.
It was
vulgar.
I'll
go a lot deeper. Ugh.
And then, yeah, as she's still getting massaged, if I was the masseur working on her, I'd be like, I feel uncomfortable right now.
I'm suing you. For harassment. Sexual harassment.
This is her. No, this is like bordering on sexual harassment.
It is gross.
And then she's like, Chris, that's not part of our bargain. He's like, I'll work on you.
He's willing to work for it.
He wants to.
He does. Wait, did they fuck? I'm sorry. Or like, did he assault? Like, yeah, because he hired her for that.
And she, yeah.
So they'd have had sex.
They have had sex before, but she was not
obviously
happy about it.
No.
So at the shareholders meeting at D&D, Peter and Amanda enter the room.
Peter is out of control. He literally like walks in and he's like, yes, I'm the one who bought D&D. I was like, why did he say it like that?
No,
it's like, it's me. I'm the consortium of doctors. It's me. I bought D&D. I brought Amanda with me.
He's like,
there's no chill with this man at all.
He's acting like an old-timey villain with a mustache with a curly.
Just the way he walked in with a smile on his face.
And did you notice how moosed his hair was?
There was something about his look that was unreal to me. Like, just his skin was so tight. And like everything about him just seemed plastic or something.
No, he looked so taut. Here, I have a picture. His hair is so moosed. And Amanda's in her red skirt suit with the black collar. And look how moosed his hair is.
No, he's wearing like a suit. Like there's no doctor jacket. No, his hair is so moosed. He's really tan too. Yeah,
he just
looks, yes, it's me. I bought D&D. He just walks in so confidently. And it's like, you were about to ruin someone's life, Peter. Like,
and probably multiple people in this office.
Yeah, have some like decorum.
No, like, he's like, I'm the consortium of doctors.
Yes.
It is I.
Yes, it's me. I bought D&D.
And then
Allison shit her pants.
But Bruce, I forgot that Bruce knew who Peter was because I guess he treated his heart attack.
Yeah.
So he goes, Peter.
Right. And Peter's like, it seems like you're recovering well from your heart. Good to see you, Bruce.
Oh, wait. I wrote down a quote. I wrote down exactly what Peter says. Yes. This is the first thing he says when he walks in the room. He goes, yes, I am part of the consortium.
Seem real now.
That bought D&D. And it's no secret that Amanda and I are friends.
Friends.
And I'm appointing her president of D&D effective immediately.
No, he has zero chill walking in with this information. It is insane to me. Because like, also, what if I was her, I'd be like, can we just be a little more
discreet?
Like, just go in, have the meeting, but don't say you're making me president. Let's just put that on the next day because I want to surprise Allison. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just have a little chill.
This scene perfectly exemplifies why before I had ever watched Game of Thrones, when I first found out what Game of Thrones was like, I said, oh, it's Melrose Place.
Yeah.
Because this scene really hammered it home because Amanda really is Cersei.
Oh, yeah. She's just pulling all the strings and does not give a shit and will take any opportunity to like climb up.
Yes. And to get power no matter who she stomps on. And she rarely feels bad about it.
No, she's always like, well, like it's kind of their fault. You know, it's not my fault.
She's diabolical.
Bruce fired me. I had no choice but to get the consortium of doctors behind me.
And then Bruce is like, you can't do this to me. And Amanda's like, look, Bruce, you just went through a divorce. Also, Bruce, to add insult to injury, this is a man who is going through a divorce. Like, he just went through a divorce. He just had a heart attack. And now she's ripping his company out from under him.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, Bruce, you're going through you just went through a divorce. You just had a heart attack. Maybe you need some time to get your life back on track.
Just rest and relaxation is maybe exactly what you need right now.
And Bruce grabs her and he says, rotten hell, Amanda.
She stuck a knife in his back.
Yeah, he's done. He says, I have a knife in my back.
No, he grabbed her and Peter just didn't even do anything.
He's like, ooh, let's see how this plays out. We can possibly get him on an assault charge too. Anyway,
Allison, though, her face.
Oh, she's shaken.
She is shitting herself because she knows she's fucked.
Yeah.
Like, she is fucked right now.
And in this scene, Allison's also wearing this, like, mousy gray suit. Amanda's wearing the power red suit. Right. And Allison just looks so pathetic.
She's like, maybe I shouldn't have said that last thing. She's thinking over that last conversation where she tried to own Amanda's ass and like regretting it.
No, and Billy is also in the room and he's just like, huh?
No, he has that thing where it's kind of slightly open. Well, should I say anything? Like, he doesn't know if he should speak.
But he's also still putting it together. He's like, wait a minute.
No, he is always thinking. Things are rolling around in his head. Like, wait.
So, Amanda walks off with Billy.
Well, she's like, let's get the ball rolling. Billy, you're my new VP of accounts.
Right. She promotes Billy on the spot.
On the spot. And then she looks at him, Allison, and she goes, we'll deal with you later.
Yeah. So that's when she walks away with Billy because she's like, Billy, let me talk to you more about this in my office.
Yeah.
And She congratulates him on his promotion, and then she says, also, I want you to fire Allison. She's a drunk. And he's like, Amanda, Allison's going through a really rough time. And Amanda says, ever since I've known Allison, she's been going through a rough time.
Accurate.
That is accurate.
I mean, it's true. Allison, she would have been fired a long time ago. Let's get real.
The key thing
alone was out of control. Like, she's done numerous things. She hasn't shown up to meetings. She's taken days off, mornings off. Like, she just would be fired.
She took time off to go Christmas shopping.
And not only did she take time off to go Christmas shopping, that's what she gave as her excuse. Yeah,
she didn't even make something up like we all would.
No, like, she actually was like, I need to take time off to go Christmas shopping. And like she an made absolute it, she, dildo. Like,
no, she made it like it was like a real crisis. She's like, Amanda, I forgot to do my Christmas shopping.
No, that was so crazy.
Anyway, let's take a break here. We'll be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Joe bursts into Wilshire Memorial, and she is talking to some guy who works there. And she's like, my baby's alive. And he's like, ma'am, we have the death certificate. And she's like, that's the wrong baby. And she's like, it's someone else. Someone else's baby was the dead baby. And he's like, well, we need that mother's name. And she's like, I don't know it. And he says, well, maybe Dr. Shaw can recommend you a psychiatrist to talk to. And
no.
Joe loses it. She freaks out and storms off. And then she's screaming down the halls. And the last thing she says is, what are you looking at?
I wrote that down too. Because you think the scene's over. Yes. And then she just has this one last burst. What are you looking at? It's like, well, ma'am, you're acting insane in a hospital. Like, of course I'm going to look. What are you talking about?
She says it to like a nurse. She goes, what are you looking at?
It's such a fun addition.
Well, because the timing of it was really funny because it was like a little too long of a beat.
Because we're literally watching her go down the hallway for a pretty long time. And then they just add that at the end.
Because the door's already closed. So we just see her through the window.
It's so funny.
What happens?
Oh, okay. Now we're back with Susan and Billy.
Oh my God, this was great. So that evening, Susan makes a toast to Billy and she calls him the Al Gore of D&D.
I was like, this is so 90s.
It's also such a dumb fucking thing to say.
Susan sucks ass. No one likes her.
I
feel like Allison's saying that. No one likes you, Susan.
Every time Allison is mean to Susan when she's drunk, I feel good.
It feels good to see her be treated that way.
She sucks. she's congratulating Billy, but Billy's mopey. He's like, mopey about Elton. And Susan goes, I thought you said we weren't going to talk about her tonight. And then he starts blaming himself for her drinking problem. And Susan's like, you need to convince her that she needs help. And then they kiss and they're like making out. And that's when Allison returns home. And she sees Billy and Susan. She sees Billy and Susan through the window making out. And she immediately stomps upstairs. And so we're like, oh, she's drunk.
She does this thing where she bites her lip before she turns into like a fucking shark on the hunt.
Yeah.
Like she bites her lip and then she stomps up the stairs.
It's determination.
She has this determination where you know she's going to let loose on them and you're like, I cannot fucking wait.
Oh, it's great. And this did not disappoint. I forgot about this completely. But she barges into their apartment and she sees that Susan has prepared a candlelit dinner for Billy. And she goes, huh, what's this? Some special occasion?
Isn't this romantic? She is disgusted.
And she says, what's the occasion? Screw Allison out of a promotion day?
Yeah. And she's pissed.
And Billy goes, you're drunk, Allison.
Susan's like, I'll make some coffee. Yeah.
And then Allison goes, that's so nice, Susan.
Yeah.
That's so nice. And then she goes over to the table with the tapered candles on it. And then she picks up a piece of food on the table and puts it in her mouth. And she goes, I guess the true way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
No, that is, that's when I'm scared. When someone just starts eating food off of someone else's plate, you know you're in for one.
Like, yeah.
Because that was absolutely madness.
It was pointed.
Yeah.
It was meant to be intimidating. So she takes a bite of the food and then Billy goes, you're not welcome here, Allison. You need to leave now. And that's when Allison goes, oh, okay.
She's so drunk. She gets her little purse that she put on the chair.
And she goes, oh, okay. And then she lifts her little purse off the chair. And then she stops. She pivots. She takes the tablecloth and rips the tablecloth off the table, sending and this table is full of shit.
Right. It's like she's trying to do that magic trick.
Including two lit tapered candles.
No. Like, this was brilliant on her part.
The table looks like it explodes. Like food and candles and shit and wine glasses just go everywhere. And it is like an explosion. It is so loud.
I didn't think about this, but the thing that makes these scenes so great is whenever Allison goes off like this, everyone else in the scene is completely silent. Yeah. Like no one's going, what the fuck are you doing, Allison? They're all just completely silent, like letting it happen and not interfering or saying anything.
Noise.
But they're standing there staring at her and not stopping her at all.
No.
Like, it's hilarious.
No one goes like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Like Billy could have, he had to see where this was going. Like, do you know what I mean? Because whenever Allison's like, okay, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the end of it. Something else is coming. Like it is either going to be a very pointed, the meanest thing you've ever heard in your life.
Or she's going to destroy something.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why he's just standing there.
We hear glass breaking. They're just standing there like shocked. And then the next day at D&D, oof, this scene.
Look, how are you going to top Allison pulling the tablecloth? There's truly only one way.
There is only one way. And I remember the first time I saw this scene, I made such a noise. I shouted because it was so shocking.
It's very shocking.
Especially the camera work in this. Is insane.
Yeah.
Amanda walks into her office to find Bruce hanging.
And I have to say, for a second, doesn't it look like he's kind of alive? Like his head was still moving or something?
Yeah, he does look a little, his eyes are open.
There was something about it where it was like a move. And I was like, wait, is he still kicking around?
Like, no, it's eerie. It's really eerie.
Yeah.
And then we see that he left a note that reads, Dear Amanda, congratulations on your promotion. Love, Bruce.
Yeah, he owned her ass. He got her good.
He really got her good, but it's sad that he had to die.
It's sad that he was so at that point.
But what a great character exit.
Yeah.
Like in terms of the story.
Well, because Bruce was never that interesting of a character, but he did get this nice little last arc that kind of added some depth to him.
And we also never saw him be an asshole. We saw him like be a strict boss sometimes, but we never saw him do anything unfair to Amanda.
I mean, I guess at that party, he was like a little, not he took her credit. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying in terms of not this like a show.
Bad, no, he wasn't like horrible. But they also, we didn't really know how deep his despair was, I guess, either. So no, it was so really shocking.
It was very shocking because I just mean like he didn't seem like that dramatic of a person.
No. And it's good that they reminded us, I think, of the divorce.
Yes.
Like there was this, a lot of things happening.
There
for
were
him.
So many awful things that Amanda knew about because she said she knew about these things.
Yeah, she rattled them off when she said he needed a break.
This is a man who's going through a lot, and this was such a crazy moment for Amanda because it's really the first time she's ever like getting a shock of reality about her actions.
Yes.
So by the time the coroner is wheeling Bruce away, or like whoever.
No, it was the coroner.
Was it the coroner?
Because it literally said coroner on his shirt.
Everyone's arrived at work. And Amanda and Billy are standing around with Allison, and Amanda tries to pawn it off like, oh, well, this is probably because Bruce is going through a divorce. Like she's already trying to absolve herself of this.
Yeah.
Of any kind of guilt. And she says, I had no idea he was so fragile emotionally. And Allison says, and if you had known, you wouldn't have stabbed him in the back.
No, Allison's not having it.
And then Billy goes, look, Allison, this isn't helping anything. And then Allison just says, the truth is you killed Bruce. And then Billy goes, you're out of line.
Allison, this is the confidence of a woman who's done a lot of stuff at work and never gotten fired for it.
Yeah.
Because she truly thinks she's invincible. And I don't know why.
Yeah. She's probably still drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Allison walks away and Amanda's like, you need to fire her by the end of the day, Billy, or your ass is on the line. So Billy goes over to Allison. And he's like, we need to talk. You came into my apartment like a tornado.
And Allison is like, I'm not in the mood for one of your lectures. Just like, she's not having Billy ever. And I love it.
And he's like, you vandalized my apartment. And she's like, no, I didn't. And she turns out Allison doesn't remember. She was in the middle of a blackout.
Crazy.
And he's like, I want to have lunch with you. We need to talk. And then she's like, I can't. I have a doctor's appointment. And he goes, you seem to have a lot of those lately.
Is that her going to get drunk?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Billy goes to Matt at the hospital.
Of course.
Because who else is he going to be able to talk to about such a sensitive issue but Matt?
Mm.
And Matt is like telling Billy about alcoholism. He's like, it's a disease.
Yeah.
And she needs treatment. And by the way, you can't fire her if she's seeking treatment. That's illegal.
Really? Is that true?
I didn't know that.
I mean, that's good.
I didn't know that. But there were people at my rehab whose like work had paid for the treatment.
So now they have a few reasons to get her into treatment. Like it could save her career as well.
And hopefully her life.
Yeah.
So back in Vegas, Sydney is eating chocolates and sipping champagne in the hotel suite. When Chris walks in, it doesn't look good. I know that face.
I know that face too.
He's lost it all. He starts drinking immediately, and he's like, I lost it. I lost my money. I lost Jane's money. And then he grabs Sydney and kisses her. And then Sydney goes, what do you mean, Jane's money?
She puts her little bonbon down. She's like, uh-oh.
She finally figures it out. And she's like, wait a minute. You stole money from Jane? And he says, technically, half of it belongs to Michael. And Sydney goes, I always knew you were a creep, but I didn't know you were a thief.
Yeah. What's worse?
This is a bridge too far.
Stealing's wrong.
And he loses it and grabs her and he's like, give me that necklace back. And she's like, no way. This is like $40,000.
Yeah, you bought no takes backs.
I love at this point. She's like, I don't care. I want this. This necklace is mine. So she locks herself in the bathroom until he leaves. I love that he's like the worst kidnapper ever.
I couldn't believe he left her.
He's just like, all right, I'm going back to gamble some more.
I'll be back. I'm going to get that necklace off you.
Sydney calls Jake from the bathroom, I guess. There's like a phone in the bathroom.
It's a fancy suite.
And he's at Shooters and she's like, Jake, I'm in trouble. I'm in Vegas.
She should have made this call like 2 days ago or whatever.
And he's like, I'm on my way. And then he calls Jane and he's like, I just heard from Sydney. Let's go get on a plane, go to Vegas. So they're going to go together. Allison returns home. And when she walks through her door, we see a lot of concerned people standing with their arms folded. And she's like, oh shit. It's an intervention.
But it's only Matt, Billy, Susan, and Dr. Katz.
Sorry. This is such a small intervention. Usually, these interventions take a while. They take time to plan them. And you get, like, everybody.
Yeah. Also, I feel like let's not bring Susan.
No.
She doesn't give a shit about Susan.
Susan would be triggering. And also, I feel like a good interventionalist would be like, this will distract.
Right.
This is someone that, like, you wouldn't get Amanda to go.
No.
You would get Jane. You'd get Joe.
Joe would be a huge one.
Although she's a little.
Well, fun. I know she's fine, but she actually had a huge grievance where Allison really betrayed her from her drinking, right? Like,
Joe would be perfect person to have at this intervention.
Right. But now she's a little.
You'd get Meredith, her sister.
Yeah.
Like, you'd get people who cared about her, and you'd get as many people as possible in the same room so Allison could see this was coming from a place of care and concern.
Right.
As opposed to Susan just wanting her off her back.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm tired of my table getting.
Yeah. I worked really hard on that dinner.
That, like, stupid dinner. And so Allison's like, what are you guys, what's going on? And, who says, oh, it's Dr. Katz. She meets Dr. Katz. And Allison's like, I don't have a problem. And Billy goes, you're an alcoholic, Allison. And then Matt is like, Allison, he starts like explaining something to her. And she goes, go to hell, Matt.
Yeah. That's so, Allison, not that. You can do it to Billy and Susan, but not Matt.
Not Matt. And then she blames Billy for her drinking. He's like, you're the whole reason I drank. You left me when things got hard. And then Billy clocks her. He's like, you've been drinking like this since college. I know about your college drinking.
And Susan's like, dum-de-dum-de-dum.
Yeah, because she looks at Susan and she's like, oh, really? And she starts crying. And she's like, fine, I'll go to an AA meeting. But Dr. Katz says she needs to be in a treatment program. They want her to go to a 28-day treatment program at, I forget the name. Twin Oaks treatment facility. And then Allison starts sobbing and she goes, how come I can't stop drinking?
Yeah.
And then she agrees to go. Shortest intervention I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. She really has an immediate turnaround.
We didn't even get any of the letters.
Yeah, I want to see that would have been great. Billy's letter.
Allison, you hurt my heart. Our relationship is ruined.
Poor Matt.
You ruined my dinner with Susan.
He's like, I don't really have anything.
Yeah, but I just worried about you, girl. So back at the hotel suite in Vegas, the bellboy brings Sydney a fruit plate. And she is still in her gown. By the way,
okay. This is where don't get her. Cause it's like, now you gotta look kidnapped, girl. You gotta like take the dress off.
It has been like 2 days, and I'm just saying, 2 days in Las Vegas in the same dress. I know exactly how this smells, and it is not good.
But she knows Jake is coming at this point, and she's still acting like she's a celebrity. Eating cheese plates and fruit plates and like wearing a gown.
No, and when Jake walks in, she makes an excuse. She was like, I was hungry. He wouldn't let me eat.
Yeah, she's like, he's been starving me.
Which we know is not true. He's concerned. He's like, well, you look pretty good for a kidnapping victim. And she's like, oh, Jake.
We also find out that Michael came.
Dude, Michael, okay, down on the casino floor, Michael and Jane are looking for Chris, and Michael is wearing a buttercup yellow cable knit sweater.
He looked amazing.
Honestly, Michael's very hot in this episode.
Because he was earlier, when he was complaining about the baby, he was also wearing like a black V-neck sweater or something.
I don't think this sweater he's wearing in the casino is hot. I'm just saying in general, he's very hot in this episode.
Yeah. You got why people want to fuck him for sure.
Yeah. So they confront Chris and Jane says, and he's playing roulette, or maybe he's still playing craps. And Jane says, yeah, they are playing craps because of the table. She says, you're through playing with my money, Chris. And then Chris gives them, he's like, he has your money. And it's $5,000 in chips. That's all that's left of the $500,000. And Jane is furious. And she goes to like get close to Chris. And then Michael goes, Jane, I'll handle this. Michael tries to throw a punch at Chris, but Chris immediately restrains Michael and then slams his face into the craps table. And Michael collapses on the ground.
That was so unexpected.
It was so funny and embarrassing for Michael.
Well, because Chris doesn't look that tough. it's like Michael really can't fight. Like,
this was a bad showing for Michael Mancini.
Oh, yeah. Because like I said, Chris doesn't look like he could really take much, but he managed to take down Michael pretty easily.
No, and this bruised his giant ego, so he probably hates him even more now.
Yeah.
Matt drives Allison to rehab, and Billy's in the backseat. They're in Mac's blue Tracker. Do you know who makes the Tracker?
No, I don't.
It looks like a Suzuki Samurai kind of car.
Yeah, it's like a very specific type of 90s vehicle. Like,
yeah, they only existed in that decade and like never again.
It's very weird. Because I don't think I ever thought about what car does Matt drive. So it was kind of shocking to see it. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so Billy's there too. And Allison tells Billy... This is such a classic alcoholic moment where you like are trying to snow the person that you're like, God, I just feel so good saying that I have a problem.
Yeah, it was laid on so thick. I immediately was like, she's up to something.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
And she's telling Billy, she's like, it just feels so good to feel this relief admitting I have a problem. By the way, I need to use the bathroom. And so she sneaks off to use the bathroom, but she just walks away instead. She just like walks back to where the bathroom is and then walks.
Just leaves
the gas
station.
They're
like in Oxnard. Like, we have no idea where they are.
No, they're not in Los Angeles anymore. It's dark. And then Billy realizes she's gone. He goes, Elfin?
Yeah, and the dirty bathroom door is just open.
And he's like,
Yeah. He got snowed.
And then so she's just walking alone in her oversized leather jacket down the street. And then she stumbles upon a bar, a real sad dive bar. And we see two old drunks stumbling out.
I felt bad for them because I do feel like they were like using those guys like to show Allison. Like, look.
That could be
like
you.
Those losers. I kind of wish they had sent out a woman about 20 years older than Allison that kind of looked like her.
Yeah. Like, this is your future.
Yes. So I did look up the song that was originally playing.
Okay. I did too, but I stopped looking. What was it?
It was called Out of Tears by the Rolling Stones. And the site I went to find it, under the song, it says, because they try to say like the scene that it's from.
Yeah.
So you kind of know. And it says, Allison cries in front of a bar. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute, but that's not the song that's playing on the streaming version.
No, every song is replaced.
So the original song was a Rolling Stones song.
Yes.
Okay, that's why it seemed so out of place, the song, because it sounded like a Debbie Gibson slow dance song.
No, it was like a totally kind of like, dee dee, like a sort of like one of those songs that has like a sax solo in it, like a slow dance song.
The one that
the one streaming that was like streaming. No, no, no. They always replace those songs. So I always check sometimes when it's, I want to see if it's like,
what was the
funny.
Real one?
Oh, here's another funny one I saw. The one where Sydney is eating chocolate covered strawberries. The song that was originally playing was It's Not Unusual.
Oh,
Jones.
Oh, didn't we almost have it all?
Yeah. So sometimes I think the song choices are really funny and it's worth checking into.
Who is going to make the cut with the stream? Like, who is going to pony up the cash to get the streaming rights and give us a cut of with the original music from the show?
I need it.
I don't get that. It's like CBS or whoever, Fox, like it was already paid for. Why is it different on streaming?
I guess it's very similar to residuals. Like, they're making money off of streaming it.
Well, they don't care about the actors.
I know. I'm just saying that's probably a similar thing. They don't want to also pay more for that. But it's like, aren't you paying the cheap songs something? I don't know.
Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And I think it's stupid. And I wish we could hear the real music.
I do too.
That originally aired. Because like this was such a hot show that they obviously were going to have some bangers.
No, it's shocking when you see that they had huge hits on the show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it was not all just bands you never heard of. They actually had like Sheryl Crow, like whatever. Like they
whatever was the
huge,
hot song.
Yeah.
Or Tom Jones, It's Not Unusual.
Yeah.
Which is like perfect for that scene. Anyway, Allison sits down on a bench and sobs outside of the bar. We don't know if she's going to go in or not. Back in Vegas, everyone's up in the suite now, except for Chris. It's Jane, Michael, Jake, and Sydney. And Jane says to Sydney, "You really expect us to believe you were kidnapped looking like that?" And Michael's eating the food.
Of course.
Like, don't mind me. And Sydney's like, let's just get out of here. I'm ready to go. And Jake wants to go too. And Jane and Michael are like, we're going to stay.
Yeah.
Our money just got stolen.
Jake's got to get back to work.
Jake is no fun.
No.
He's no fun in this episode. And on the way out, Sydney grabs her first stole.
You got to have it.
But Jane stops Jake. And she's like, Jake, I can't believe you're falling for this. She still thinks that Sydney is in cahoots with Chris.
Yeah. And it's like, you're wrong initially, but now you're getting a little closer. She did kind of, like, she didn't wasn't in cahoots with him, but she went along with it a little too long.
Yeah, she had some fun. She definitely had some fun. Anyway, later on the casino floor, Jane and Michael go to play roulette, and Jane puts $5,000, the remaining money, all on black. And it's red.
And they laugh.
And they just laugh it off. And then they go to have a drink in the suite upstairs. And Michael's complaining about Kimberly's mystery baby. And they're just getting drunk and giggly. And that's when they start kissing.
Yeah, and Jane like, kind of initiates it.
Jane initiates it, and it's really hot.
I know. I was.
This is like the hottest moment Jane has had on the show.
Oh, my God, by a mile.
And their chemistry is palpable, I think.
Mm.
And then Jane says something really hot. She says, I wanted to see what it would feel like to be the other woman for once.
And Michael says something even hotter.
He says, well, I'd be happy to show you. That is out of control.
I'm so glad she agreed.
Ugh. And then it gets really steamy, and they are just ripping each other's clothes off. It's Michael and Jane.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Who would have guessed?
Back at the beach house, Joe pulls up in her sedan. And she marches to the door and pounds on it. And Kimberly's like, leave. And then Joe decides to go around to the side to the glass sliding door. And she throws a chair through the glass.
Finally.
And pushes Kimberly aside. And Kimberly's like, I've already called the police. And then the police arrive as Joe is holding her baby. And Kimberly is like, oh my God, I'm so scared. She pretends to be all scared. And then acting like this crazy woman who's her patient is trying to steal her baby. And Joe is apprehended and Kimberly's like, just don't charge her. I don't want to press charges. She's just my crazy patient.
Yeah. Her baby was born, but it was stillborn. Like she loves telling everyone that baby was stillborn.
Yeah. And so Joe's hauled away by the cops. Back at Caesar's Palace the next morning, there, Michael wakes up in the big, like, circular bed.
And like the satin sheets.
The gold satin sheets. And Jane is buttoning her top, and he's like, come back to bed. And she's like, Michael, thank you for last night. And he's like, well, why don't you come back here and take off your clothes? Or let me take them off for you.
He's a little less smooth this morning.
he's just straight up like, Jane, let me see that pussy.
Yeah, give me some. I want to go deep. Let me get my dick wet, Jane. Come on.
He's so horny. And she smiles and was like, sorry, Michael, this was just a one-night stand. And he's like, no, Jane, this is a new beginning.
Michael.
And he says, I love you.
Michael,
you're married.
Damn, Jane's pussy.
Jane.
She is like, got it. He's into that pussy.
Jane is the love of his life.
Yeah. And he doesn't know how to express it really.
No, he just cheats on her.
Yeah.
And like marries her sister. And she leaves with a smile on her face. And he's like, aw.
Yeah.
Because now he has to go back to his bitch wife.
And her fucking baby.
And her fucking mystery baby. Allison walks into the Twin Oaks rehab, so she decided not to go to the bar.
Yeah.
Or maybe she went back for one last drink.
Yeah. Get it in while she still can.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
As long as she made it to rehab.
Yeah.
She walks in and she's like, hi, I need help.
I need help.
And that's where we end.
Boo.
I know I did get a little sad that this is the end of Drunk Allison.
I don't want her to get sober. I'm sorry.
The only saving grace is that a storyline I really like is an upcoming romantic partner.
Yeah.
Not the right. Not one from rehab, but there is like a specific upcoming romantic partner she has.
Right. That I mean, is she's crazy. She's still out of control when she's not drinking.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
She's an alcoholic.
But it's just funny when she goes off.
Ugh. Yeah, and I don't even remember what happens to Susan, but I can't wait for her to fuck off.
Yeah, I fucking hate her. It must be soon.
She's such a dipshit.
God, she's dull, right?
She's such a drip.
And even her face, it's like, I don't want to see that fucking face anymore. Do you know what I mean? She's just always like, ooh. It's like, why, what's her point?
She's not a fun bitch.
And you can tell the writers were like, we can't keep her. She's boring. Ooh. Like she was too dull. She didn't make anything happen.
They didn't give this woman anything cool to do. They just made her a drag.
Yeah. She's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
She's just there to trigger Allison.
No, they didn't like make her do like anything diabolical where we kind of be like, ooh, this is interesting.
Yeah, they could have made her a real bitch.
Right. But like, they just made her pathetic.
Yeah.
Where she was still a bitch, but not in a fun way.
Yeah.
She just sucked.
She sucked. No, I don't like it. I don't want characters like this anymore. I want all ones who are adding to the drama. Only.
I will say Billy's next romantic interest is out of control.
Yeah, he finally does a good job.
And one of the craziest Melrose Place characters of all time.
No, amazing.
I'm excited for her.
Me too. I just need to get rid of Susan. I'm done.
Get her out of here. We're done.
I'm glad the Chris storyline is over.
Not yet.
I mean, not yet, but it's like...
Well, these James woken
it's
up.
It's getting... It's like... It's almost done.
It goes out with a bang, I will say that.
Yes, so...
From what I remember.
I kind of... I just like... I like turnover.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I want things happening. And sometimes these relationships wear out their welcome a little bit. Like this Chris one has dragged on a long time.
Well, it's also like, Jane, fucking get it together.
Yeah, this is and your I just don't fault. Care about her design store. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's just not an. I like D&D business. I don't want fucking her business. I don't care about her fucking fabric shipments and vendors. I do not give a shit.
Jane's vendors. I don't even remember what happens with Jane Mancini.
It's got to go under, right?
No, there's like definitely more. Like, I just don't remember exactly what it is. Like, I feel like they do try and. I feel like there has to be some drama storyline with her business, but I don't remember it.
Yeah. I hope don't. In my dream, it's like everyone at some point works for D&D. Like in my memory, I'm like, does she work for D&D at some point?
She might. I'm just saying the D&D stuff is like, we're not even started with the amount of drama that's going to go down at D&D. Like I love the D&D stuff.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
I always have.
It's going to be good. I'm excited.
Can't wait for next week.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.